Let's jump into the message today, because I got a feeling y'all are going to get rowdy, and I want to save the rowdiness for the good part of the message, okay? I don't want to waste it on getting excited about going to school, all right? Let's get to it. So John chapter 10, verse 7 through 11. Today we're going to kick off a new series. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 11. I want to read this out of an amplified version of the Bible. There are different versions. The amplified, what it does is it takes some words, break them down, give you some meanings, and I think it makes it come a little more alive for you whenever you read it. And so I wanted to use that this morning to really give you a good picture of the scripture. So John chapter 10, verse 7 through 11, it says, "So Jesus said again, 'I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I am the door for the sheep leading to life. And all who came before me as false messiahs or self-appointed teachers and leaders are thieves and robbers. But the true sheep,'" notice it has that in parentheses, "'the true sheep did not hear them.'" Then he goes on to say in verse 9, "I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and will live forever and will go in and out freely and find pasture or spiritual security." And then he kind of flips the script a little bit in verse 10. He says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy, and I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance." That's such a good scripture verse. I thought you would get a little bit more excited, because Jesus is painting the picture for the kind of life that he has for you, and you heard it like you didn't really believe that's what he meant whenever he said it. And so I want to read it again, because "the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus said, I came that people like you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." That's a little bit better. I got some work to do in preaching today, I could tell. And so, anyway, then he goes on to say in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. I'm praying that this message, this series that we're starting today, is going to make us come alive, Father, and live the life that you intended for us to live. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking for your help today to preach this message. I pray that every person here, Father, will have a heart and a mind of faith to believe, God, that you have planned for them an incredible life, an abundant life that was promised to us right through you, Jesus. And I'm praying, God, that this message, this scripture verse, is going to come alive inside of each and every one of us, Father. Help me to speak it well. Help it to touch every heart and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This past Friday night, my middle son and I, Judah, we decided we were going to go to the movies. And we were going to go see this movie called The Meg. How many of y'all have seen the previews for it yet? It's like this generation's Jaws. How many of y'all saw Jaws back in the day? Okay, so that's what this is kind of like. It's called The Meg, Megalodon or something like that. I don't know. It's a big shark. I got to tell on myself here. You know how you get yourself worked up for these shows and everything? And because I remember watching Jaws back in the day, and, you know, it came out in the summer when you're supposed to go to the beach, and so you're scared to even stick your toe in the water. And so we were at the beach a couple weeks ago, and so we were seeing the previews, and I told Judah, I said, "Man, wouldn't it be cool to be, like, at the beach in the water watching this kind of movie?" And he thought it would be, but, you know, of course, we weren't at the beach. We were right here at the AMC. And so so we're in there watching the movie, and, like, within the first 5 minutes of the movie, it's really low-key, and nothing's really happening, but you're kind of amped up and excited. We were running a little late already, and we caught this last preview that would, like, really, really mess me up, and I'm not sleeping good after that preview just because it's some scary, gory stuff. I don't do well with that. And so, anyway, all that Satan stuff, I don't like it. But anyway, we're in the movies, and it's this little girl who's walking down this little hall, and everything cool is happening, and it's all good. I'm not going to give away the movie, but there's no rumbles that have happened yet, and so we're about 5 minutes in, and like this guy comes around the corner, and all the bass in the room is rattling, and I jumped, and Judah looks at me, he's like, "Already, Dad?" Like, already? I mean, it was just like, you know, your senses are up there because you don't know what you're about to see. And so I thought, boy, this would be a good moment to take one of them selfies, you know, hashtag living your best life. You know what I'm saying? That would have been one of the moments, but it was dark and you're not supposed to take pictures in the movie like some of y'all do. And so anyway, that was a lot of fun. So like this time of the year, I just told you that story just so you'd laugh. Anyway, this time of year, you know, people are typically starting to get things in order with their lives, and our kids go back to school. tomorrow. And so it just kind of naturally falls into place that we want to get some things in order. And so you're already having the speeches of, okay, we're going to bed at this time, and you're waking up at this time, and you're wearing this on this day. You know, all that stuff that you didn't do all summer that in one night you're going to try to accomplish by tomorrow morning. And you know you're going to be faking them first day of school pictures. Yes. Little blessings. You know what I'm saying? Little blessings. And you're like, yeah. Anyway. Y'all don't like it when I say that, but y'all know it's true. Anyway. Summer vacations are over, and so we're getting back to school. And it's like it's a new season. It's like it's a fresh start. We feel football in the air. Come on. Y'all ready for this? By the way, it was approved this week, 2022-2023. My team plays against your team 2 years in a row. Okay. I thought y'all would be a little more excited about that, but so anyway, it's this fresh start. It's this new season. So I began to think about that, and I reverted back to when we were starting the church and just trying to make sure that we had the kind of church that would be relatable to people, that really worked in people's everyday life. And can I tell you, that's not the easiest thing to do, because we do live in the Bible Belt, and there's a lot of tradition, and there's a lot of expectations that come along with being a church, things that people want you to be, some traditions that they want you to uphold. And sometimes in the attempt to be a more relevant and more relatable church, sometimes you mess with traditions, and in people's mind, they begin to think that you're watering things down and you're not as legit as those classical churches and those veteran churches in our community. And so we wanted to make sure that that we had something legit that we were all about. And I remember when we were penciling out our vision statement, Cynthia and I had been to one of these ARC trainings, association-related churches, that were training us to be able to plant a church, because we've never done that before. And so we were at this planting thing, and they were asking, you know, about your vision statement, your mission statement, what your church was going to be all about. And they were trying to help you to come up with a statement that could be catchy, something that people would hear and it would just kind of stick with them. And so when you hear that, you want it to sound really, really cool. No, I don't care who you are. You like things to sound cool, especially if you're going to be advertising. So it puts a little bit of pressure on you. And so I remember sitting through and writing on this notebook. We were just jotting all kinds of stuff down, trying to make it sound super fancy, trying to find the right words and all that stuff. And some of you right now, you're twitching because you didn't do good in those English classes back in the day, and you don't even want to talk about it. And so we were trying to come up with this stuff, and it was just frustrating because everything that we had in our heart, we didn't know how to put it in words. And it was really, really a struggle. And I remember getting frustrated about it. And Cynthia would ask me stuff like, you need to come up with this, because sooner or later, we're going to have to, like, put it on some marketing pieces. And I'm like, would you just leave me alone? Why don't you help me? You know, it's like one of those family discussions between spouses. And so, anyway, I just got frustrated. And I said, listen, just leave me alone, because all I want to do is just help people follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their life. That's all I want to do. And it was just one of those moments where, like, hey, what's wrong with that? That works. And so hurry up and write it down before you forget it. And so we decided right there, this is the kind of church we want to be. We want to help people follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their life. And I began to think, right here we are today, and it's like, that's what we're here to do, is to help people live this life that God has planned for us. And it's the realization that God has more for us than just a work week. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That we're working for a whole lot more than just the weekend, like the song says. Like, there's a whole lot more for us to live for, and that we're not just here trying to survive, but we're here to thrive, amen? That we're going to live the best life that God has for us. And so we want to make sure that our church is all about that, because the plans that God has for you are exciting, amen? And that they're very, very fulfilling, and that God has this for you, and they can make a difference in your life, and it can also impact the lives of others as well. And even though its plans will stretch you, it'll lead you to the place where you'll say, I never, ever thought I'd get to do anything like this. And I think that's absolutely incredible. And so today, what I want to do is I want to start a new series entitled Living the Best Life. living the best life. I know you keep hearing the phrase living your best life, but I'm going to take it up a notch and call it living the best life, because Oprah is the one, by the way, who came out with that little living your best life. I know you saw it on Pinterest and all the little things and everything, and people were hashtagging their little keto diet on Facebook. You know, they took a picture of some grass and some sticks and took a picture and said, hashtag living your best life. And I'm sitting there looking at that and I'm thinking, that ain't the best life to live right there. And so I offended somebody with that just now, but if you're going to live your best life, you're going to have to forgive me. And so anyway, you know, all these different things. We go to the beach and we're sitting there. And isn't it funny that we take a picture of our feet sitting in a lawn chair at the beach and then post it on social media? You ever notice that? Well, some ladies, they go a little higher up. We're not going to get into that. That's another message for another day. And then hashtag living your best life. Or a dude at the gym. And if you do this, stop. I'm not going to go there. The family picture at the beach is great, but you by yourself at the gym, dude, that is just messed up, okay? Anyway, or this is the funny one. When there's those folks that are at the neighborhood bar and grill, and I think they just might be getting hammered with the kids running around the parking lot. I don't know. But then they hashtag living your best life, and they're sitting there holding a cocktail. I'm like, this is hilarious, like at Applebee's or something, you know? Anyway, no hate against them. And so typically, organizations will put out their mission statements, and then they'll support it with some values. And their core values, what they do is they're reinforcing this vision to paint a picture of what they're all about. And so when we were writing out our core values and our key beliefs, what we're about as our church, our main idea really was to paint a picture of what it looks like to live not just your best life, but the best life. The best life that God has for you. Can I just say that living your best life is about right here, which is pretty good, but living the best life that God has for you is a whole nother, look at your neighbor and say, whole nother level. Whole nother level. So these are key beliefs for our church that we have written out, but also believe that there are beliefs and some values to living your best life. And that's what we want to help you to do. And so we're going to use these values over the next few weeks to talk about living the best life. And really, I began to think about it. Living the best life really comes down to decisions. Because you are where you are today because of the decisions that you made. And maybe you're in a position today because of a decision, maybe even that someone else made. But either way, decisions determine where we're going. And maybe today you're in a place in your life where you're in a position to make some decisions. And you have to know that even though you already have pressure on you, that decision is going to determine what happens next. Think about this. Remember when you got married and then you decided that you wanted to have a kid. And so, like, that's like a really cool thing until you get in the middle of it. And like, there's a lot of ages and stages that you go through with child, but I'm thinking like the first night. I mean, forget this when they're 3 years old. Like when they're two and they're climbing up the wall and stuff, you didn't know they could do that. But like the first night, and I remember we had Elijah, our oldest son, the first night, and I never did this before. You know what I'm saying? I'm just along for the ride, just supporting Cynthia, you know, let's do this. And I don't know what to do. And so I'm trying to be a good husband and everything. And so it got late, and all the guests have left that were visiting and were, you know, offering everything under the sun to try to help you celebrate this and, you know, whatever they can do to help. But there's not a whole lot they can do. And so everybody leaves. And so we're finally like, we're just exhausted. And so we're like, we're going to go to sleep. And so little E, he was a little tiny thing, and they got him in that little plastic crib, you know, you know what I'm talking about. I don't understand all that. But anyway, he's in there and he is out. And so I just thought, if he's out, I'm going there too. And so you may not know this, but I'm deaf in my left ear. Been that way since like second grade. And there's a whole story behind that. But anyway, whenever I sleep, I always sleep my good ear down. And that way I hear nothing, zero. It's pretty amazing. And so, I mean, hey, you got to make the most of it, okay? And so sleeping that night and I didn't hear anything. And you know those little setups that they give the guys in the hospital rooms? You know, that is not the most comfortable setup. So I had called the nurse like five or six times, tried to get a different one every time to get another pillow. and I created my own little haven of rest. And so I had those pillows stacked up, so I was doing pretty good. I was out. And the middle of the night, I felt some things hitting me in the head. And I look up to see what's going on, and there's a peppermint coming at my face. Because Cynthia was trying to wake me up to get the screaming child that I did not hear because my ear was down to bring him to her. And so we were living our best life that night. But you don't know all of that whenever you decide to have a kid. Like, I had no clue that peppermints would be thrown at me in the middle of the night. I just didn't see that on my radar. You know, like, I wasn't ready for that. Like, I was more ready for the kid to come, not for the peppermints. Like, what do? Do you throw it back? Like, you know, you're in a situation there. And so, but you didn't know that when you made the decision, hey, let's have a child. And so the decision, though, it sets up things that you might know, and it even sets up things that you didn't even know. There are things that you're trying to predict and control in your life, so you're making decisions accordingly, trying your best to get the outcome that you desire, but there's some unknowns that are involved in the decisions that we are making. Am I right? You ever made a decision, and then afterwards you're like, I didn't see that coming? And that's the kind of stuff that happens to us. And so when we're making this decision that we want to live the best life, it's going to affect kind of the input to how we make these decisions. And what I want to do today is use some of these ideas that we have established as our core beliefs and our core values to kind of steer our decision-making process, amen? Because good decisions is going to equal good outcomes for your life, okay? It's not just a good weekend at the beach that's going to help you to live your best life. Can I just tell you that? It's good for that moment, but you still got to come home and, oh yeah, we got laundry piled up. Is that just for real? I mean, isn't that, I know you tried to get it all done, but you were so exhausted the night before, you just wasn't able to do it. And so now you come home, and it's like real life. It's right. There are people who decided to go to the beach like one more time this weekend. Can you imagine tomorrow morning? Friday, that was a great decision, but tomorrow morning, they're going to be like, oh, what were we thinking? And so it's the understanding that decisions come into living the best life. Now, most time we determine our quality of our life, watch this, by comparing it to others. We see what other people have going on, and we assume if we decided to do what they do, then we'll get what they've got. And that's not always true, because I've been to places, vacation spots, for example, that people ranted and raved over, and when we got there, we were like, what's so great about this? And it's not because we weren't grateful, it's just because it wasn't satisfying to what we like and what we don't like. And so sometimes we can look at others and think that if we just had what they had, could do what they do, looked like what they looked like, then we would be able to live our best life. But it's just not true, because you're not them. I need a better amen for that one, because you know they got some crazy in them that you don't have, and you feel pretty good about that. You know what I'm saying? So we need a starting point. We need somewhere to go from. Like, where do we go if we want to live the best life that God has for us? And I want to go to the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 1 through 5, okay? And I want to read it out. I think it's the Living Translation. And this is what he says here. It says, before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. I need you to hear that. Jesus isn't just a religious figure sent from heaven. He is God himself in the flesh on earth. You say, how does he do that? He is God. He can do all kinds of things that you and I will not be able to understand. When you get to heaven, ask him about it. I'm sure he would love to tell you. Okay? So live your life right so you can go to heaven. Amen? So it says here, he created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. That means that he made you. I know in biology they told you alternative methods, but at the end of the day, God created you, okay? And so everything that exists, he made, and eternal life is in him. Notice what it says, eternal life. In other words, everlasting life. Life that lasts is in him. And this life gives light to all mankind. So watch this in verse 5. His life is the light that shines through their darkness. Anybody ever said, you ever said this about someone? It seems like they always have a dark cloud hanging over their head. You just hear their stories and it's like one thing after another happening to them. You're like, I think these people are cursed. Like, I know I'm not supposed to say that, but like, they keep having bad things happening to them all the time. And somebody's, y'all thinking of people right now and how, quit doing that. Like, y'all are bad. Okay. So there's this thought though, that it's like, there's this cloud that just seems to hang over their head. And it's almost like saying they're in darkness, but it says his life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. In other words, the life that God gives cannot be stopped. It cannot ever be extinguished because it is so powerful that it penetrates even through death. You remember Jesus died on the cross and was in the grave, and they thought, listen, all these soldiers that were executing this plan, they thought that Jesus was done, it was over. Satan himself thought, we won, we took down the Messiah, it's the end of this, but Jesus, he is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and even though he went through an episode, you ever watch your favorite show, and there was just that one episode that you didn't really like, but it was followed by the best episode ever, you know what I'm saying? It was really just a setup. And so the death was just a setup to say, hey, not even death can stop the life that I have come to give. Okay? And so there's that one verse in the Bible that says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells where? In me. It dwells in me. And if it, listen, it's going to quicken me. In other words, it's going to make me come alive. And there's too many people living like they're dying when God meant for us to live like we're fully alive. Fully alive. Come on, there's some folks in here, you're just trying to make it through another day, and you're dreading it, but I believe that we can enjoy the life that God has for you. You're just trying, I'm carrying a ball and chain in this marriage. Listen, you can enjoy your marriage. You can enjoy it. Can I hear an amen? You can enjoy your kids. Even when they're climbing on the wall, in the restaurant, after church on Sunday. That's why we don't go eat out. Bring them. Bring them. And if they act like that, bring them to the bathroom. We were in a restaurant last Sunday. They showed up with the kid. The kid started doing his thing. The waitress didn't even get there with the drinks. And they left. And I wanted to help them. But you can't do that. I wanted to, like, look, we can get this under control. Like, I can help you sit here and eat. Like, let's do this. Anyway, that's another message. That's coming up in September. Let's get to this. Family series, plugging that in. This is us, September the 9th. It's starting, okay? We're going to go there this year, okay? So let's talk about how we're going to live the best life. The first thing, it's one of our values. Number one, it's all about Jesus. Now, okay, let's talk about this real quick. Because that's one of those real fast Christian church cliches. You know what I'm saying? Where someone comes to compliment you on something that you're doing right, and we do that, well, you know, it's all for the glory of God. You know what I'm talking about? Man, you're just doing such a great, oh, it's all about Jesus. It's glory to Jesus. Now, I don't deserve anything. It's all glory to Jesus. And I appreciate that humility, but at some point, somewhere inside of us, we're like, yeah, I know. I'm working really hard on this, and thank God he's helping me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can we just be honest for a second here? How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you get a little turned off sometimes when people do that? They deflect it on, like, oh, it's Jesus. And you're like, wait a minute. No, you have to handle that kid just now. No, it's all Jesus. And so there's this, I feel like there's this gap between what we really mean and what we really live. Because on the inside, we know that we have to work hard to get this. And so let me unpack this a little bit today whenever we talk about saying it's all about Jesus. And I want to say it like this. If we want to live this best life that God has for us, we have to know who the giver of life is. Because if we're thinking that we're going to get our life from, let's go there today. Can we go there? Listen, demographics of our church mostly is young families. So let's talk about it. Sometimes we think that we're going to get our great life from our children. And can I tell you, in the same breath that your kids will make you proud, they will make you say some things and do some things that you're going to have to say I'm sorry for. Can I get an amen from somebody? Don't act like you ain't never been in that situation. You ever been like had a situation with your kids and later on you're riding in the car and it was just you and that one child? And you felt the conviction of God? And you like turned the radio on, turned it up real loud like country songs so you can deal with the depression of the moment. You know what I'm saying? And then the song comes on about like you loving your kid. Oh, I'm terrible. And so you turn it off and you're like, hey, let's catch up. Let's talk a little bit. And you have to apologize to your kid. Anybody ever been there before? Like, my kids are getting older now. So, like, I got a 15-year-old about to be 16. And so, like, he watches my driving. Because he's driving now. And he's paying attention to things, which makes my other children pay attention to things. And so the other day, my daughter called me out for speeding. And this is how she says it. Dad? Going a little fast there, aren't you? I'm like, don't you have an iPad you can be looking at right now? You want me to hurry, but don't speak. Anyway, that's another thing. Understanding, though, where our life comes from. Sometimes we think the best life is going to come from our career. And we position ourselves to move forward in our career, and sometimes it's really good, and it almost feels like we hit the jackpot. And other times we make that move, and we thought it was going to be really good, and even though it looked like the jackpot, emotionally it bankrupted us. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we thought it was going to be one thing, and it turned out to be another. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying our outlook, we think that we're going to get this best life from these different opportunities and these different situations. And I think for a period of time, it could be satisfying. But after a while, it's just not as fulfilling as we need it to be. And so I think the thing to learn here when we say it's all about Jesus is learning this, and I would write this down, that he is the source of life. See, it's not just let me give you some good life. It's I'm the source of the good life that you want to live. So the good life, the best life that God has for us, it flows straight from him, from who he is and what he is meant to do, okay? So watch this. In that verse we read in John chapter 1, okay, in verse 3 it says he created everything there is, all right? We were created by him for him. Now, this is important to know. We were created by him, for him. So if we're going to live the best life, it's realizing I was created by him. He is the source of my life. But to have the best life, I have to live my life for him, not just for me. And this right here is where we start getting off the train right here. Right here. This is where we get off because we like what we like and we don't like no one to mess with what we like. We collect friends according to the things that we like. We get together according to the things that we like. We date people. We marry people according to things that we like. We work really hard to connect because there are things that we like. And so to understand that he is the source of life, it's understanding that the source of everything that I want, the source of my joy, the source of my happiness, can I go there today? The source of all these things that I really want are not going to be found in temporary things. They're found in the eternal one, and it's found in Christ Jesus. And so I have to recalibrate my life. And that's what I'm really praying for in this message, that we can recalibrate our life to where we're no longer looking for temporary things to give us that only God can give us. Because we will be disappointed every time. And when we're disappointed, we have to deal with it. And when we deal with it, we don't always do our best. And so people within our own home now become like, ooh, watch out for mama. Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know what I'm saying? And ooh, dad's in a mood. Dad's been in a mood lately. And so we got all these different things now that we've got to deal with. Oh, little Johnny. He's not happy with his teacher this year. I just wanted to say that one. Okay. We will be disappointed if we expect to find the best life from anything or anyone else other than the source of life. So when we're saying it's all about Jesus, it's this understanding that the source of the best life that I can live is coming straight from God. But let's take it a step further, because not only is he the source, but he is also the foundation. The foundation, in other words, you're trying to build a life, and you have to have something solid to build your life on. And what are the things that we are choosing to build our life on? Because the best life is only possible by building a life on the rock of Christ Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock, I will stand. Watch this. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Got to get it right. I almost said stinking sand. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is what Jesus said. He said, "The words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life." I want you to grab this. This message version of the Bible. I love it the way it says it, so that you can really understand the meaning of it. "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living." I love that. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. And if you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. It's all about Jesus. This is what it means. But watch this. "But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life," oh, this is some strong language right here, "you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. And when a storm rolled in and the waves come up, it collapsed like a house of cards." It's about decisions. And I want to ask you a very pointed question today. What are you building your life on? What are you building it on? And is it a solid rock? Is it Christ Jesus, the solid rock? Or is it small little pieces of rock that might have a little bit of Jesus in it? See, I got to say that because if you really break down what sand is small little pieces of rock. And so you can magnify it and make it look like a rock. And this is the things that we do, because we take good things that we're building our life on and we magnify it and say, "You see, it's Jesus. You see, it's Jesus." And one of the areas we do that, we build our lives on, and I'm going to go there today, and you might not like it. You might have words with me after church. But one of the things we try to build our life on is family. Because it's such a good thing, and God instituted the family. And so we're trying to build everything on a family. But I need you to know that family is just a piece of the rock. And it's not a sure foundation. It's a great value. It's God's creation, but it's not the source of life. It's simply just the conduit of life flowing through it. And sometimes we're disappointed because our family doesn't give us everything that we need. And so husbands and wives fight. Mamas and kids fight, kids and dad fight. And because we can't get it under control, we tend to go separate ways. Can I tell you this? Jesus ain't going nowhere. And even if you fail, he ain't going to fail. I had to say that Southern style. He ain't going to fail. Did you hear that? Even though we fail, he is not going to fail. Let's talk about this. What if we try to build our life on a career and everything is all about our career? Well, what happens if you don't like your job anymore after 3 years and you done built your whole entire life on it? That's a tough experiment. Can I hear an amen? And so you built your whole entire life about it. And I think Jesus is over there saying, "Hey, you're living a good life, but I got the best life for you." And so you're building on some sand over there, and there's a storm that's coming. Come on, anybody hearing this today? And I know this can be almost conflicting, because these are the values that we're taught to believe. And listen, we value family. I want your family to thrive and to make it. But the only way our family thrives is if it's built on the rock of Christ Jesus. Can I hear a good amen? On the solid rock of Christ Jesus. Because if he's the Lord of your life, and he's the Lord of your marriage, and he's the Lord of your family, and you're on that solid rock, nothing coming against you is going to tear you down. It's a solid foundation to build on. Solid. This isn't sand. Listen, we're not getting the kids together to build a sandcastle here. We're building the life that God has intended for us to live on a solid rock called Christ Jesus. Amen? All right. It's the foundation. Some good things out there, but they're just small pieces of the rock. So is your life, is it all about Jesus, or is he the foundation? Are we building it on him? Can we say this? It's all about Jesus, or is it all about me? And I know there's some things that really challenge you in this, but let's not deceive ourselves into thinking that my life is built on the rock of Christ Jesus, but yet everything's about me. Like there's a conflict there. And that's where I think a lot of people in their souls, there's a little bit of conflict in their soul because they say the right things, but they live the wrong things. Is it all about Jesus? And understanding this, that my best life comes down to my best decisions. And I believe the best decision that we can make is this. Jesus, you're the rock on which I'm going to build my life on. You could build a good career on the rock of Christ Jesus. Think about that. Instead of making it all about the career, make it all about Jesus. No matter what comes your way with your position, your title, your career, you got something solid to stand on. Because it was a good decision to build on the rock instead of the sand. Building your family. You could build your family on memories. You could have a lot of good pictures. Or you could build your family on the rock of Christ Jesus. That means decisions, by the way. Because whenever you are raising kids and they become teenagers and they want to do some things that doesn't look like our life is all about Jesus. Come on, anybody ever been there? And you hold them to the standard of building their life on the rock of Christ Jesus. You might have an argument that night. Somebody might slam the door. Somebody might go punch a pillow in the bedroom. But 10 years down the road, they will say, thank you. For keeping the main thing, the main thing. Thank you. Thank you, because this thing could have really, really fell apart. But there's a rock, the rock of Christ Jesus. We're going to live the best life. We must build our life on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Leads to the second thing. Anything is possible. Man, Pastor Wade, you just talked about Jesus, and now you just tell me everything is possible. Like, how does this work? Well, if Jesus is the source and Jesus is the foundation, see, this ain't just a cliche, but Jesus said it was true. When Jesus is on the scene, anything is possible. Even in the middle of our conflicts, even in the middle of our worries, our stress, all the different things, if Jesus is on the scene, anything is possible. But if our life's not all about Jesus, we have a hard time believing that. Because we don't see Jesus operating like that in our lives. We see him over at a distance waiting for us to get everything perfectly before he can demonstrate his goodness in our lives. And can I tell you, before you ever got close to being good, God was already blessing you. God was already doing good. He was already working on your behalf. And you just didn't see it that way because you were in your situation. But God all alone was chasing you down. He was knocking on your door. He was sending the Holy Spirit. There was somebody praying for you. There was somebody standing in the gap. There was somebody sending you text messages inviting you to church. And you were like, I can't do that right now. Too much going on. I can never go back to church because I got to get some things straight. But God was already coming after you. And then you said things like this. If God could save me, he could save anybody. You know what you just said? Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Story in Mark chapter 9, this dad brings their son who's being controlled by this evil spirit, and they bring him to Jesus, and it was destroying this boy's life. Remember what we said earlier? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesus, he's on the scene. And this boy's dad goes up to Jesus and he says, hey, if you can do anything for my son, we could sure use some help. And I love Jesus' response. In verse 23, he says, what do you mean if I can? What do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if we will just believe. And I believe that the only way to live the best life is to completely trust in Jesus. In other words, completely believe that anything is possible. Because you may find yourself in a situation where it doesn't look like this is the best life. But if you know the source of life is right there with you, maybe it's a dark place, but if you know that the light of the world is right there with you, you know that it's possible that this thing can light up very quickly because Jesus is on the scene. And maybe today you're here and you feel like you're in a dark place. I need you to know Jesus is in on the scene. He is on the scene in your life today. And he is the way, the truth, and the light. And so even though you don't see the possibility, life is right here knocking on your door today. And you're one decision away from experiencing the love and the life of God that will transform your life from darkness to light. It's possible. And that's not just for your salvation, because you may walk through some other situations in your life that seem to be overwhelming, and you're saying, why is this happening to me? And we're so busy trying to understand why it's happening to me that we forget to look to a God who can change the very situation that is happening. Because when Jesus is on the scene, anything is possible. When you read through the New Testament, everywhere Jesus went, miracles were possible. And can I tell you, God still does miracles. And God could do a miracle in your life today because he is alive and well, and he can make you come alive. He makes forgiveness possible. He makes healing possible. He makes restoration possible. He makes all these things possible. And if we will trust Jesus and believe that anything is possible, we will take steps that we never thought we would take. We can experience things of God that we never thought. Like people would ask you, how did this? And when you say, it's Jesus, and you explain that, hey, I made some decisions that put me in a position I shouldn't have been in. But God was always right there. He was always knocking on my door. And I just made a decision that instead of taking these matters into my hand, I put them in his. And when I put them in his hand, that's where things in my life begin to change. All things possible. See, I think living the best life is living a life believing that all things are possible. Do I know the limitations of the world? Of course I do. But I also know the power of God. Do I know the capabilities of other people? Yes, I do. But I also know the power of God. Do I know how those kind of people are? Yes, I do. But I also know the power of God. And I know if there's anyone that can change it, it's him. And you're saying, but you don't know what I'm walking through. I may not know what you're walking through, but I know him, and he sees what you're walking through. And I promise you this, he can turn it around. He can change it. And where does it start? It starts with a decision. It starts with believing that it's possible. It's possible. Is it possible? Think about the potential. Think about the dreams, the gifts, talents that are trapped within our unbelief. I want you to think about that for a second. There's so many good things in your life that are trapped in your unbelief. What if we just said, all right, God, I believe you. You gave me that gift. I believe you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take a step and go for it. I think there are people like this leading an e-group. You're wrestling with it. I want you to know the idea probably came from God. But you're not sure if you can do it. You don't know. Maybe no one will show up. That's the kind of stuff you're thinking through your head. Can I tell you, every time I put a sheet back there, I always face the fact that people may not come. And you're like, yeah, but you're the pastor. People always come. A few times I had to cancel because nobody came. Good thing I didn't hang the success of our ministry off of that day. Am I right? Look, church, nobody came to my e-group yesterday, so we're going to put a post on Facebook. Church is canceled. Not going to do it. No. I know what God's put in my heart. And whether they showed up or not, I'm still going to do what God called me to do. Come on, somebody. Because I believe. That's why. I believe. Do you believe today? Do you believe today? There are dreams trapped within our unbelief. Gifts, talents trapped within our unbelief that can make your life just come alive. Things that you always wanted to do but were so uncertain of, and you know you even got a God conviction about it. What if you just said, all right, God, let's do it. All things are possible. think we have the hard time believing because we aren't confident with the life we've been building because it's not on the sure foundation of Christ Jesus. We built it on our abilities. We built it on, watch this, what we're comfortable with. Built it on things that are convenient for us instead of building it on the rock of Christ Jesus. But what if we just decided, instead of just trying to live the easy life, we made a decision, I'm gonna live the best life. And I'm gonna build my life on the rock of Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me today? What if we change the focus of our lives from ourselves to Jesus? And what if we truly, truly believe that all things are possible? I believe then we can live the best life. Who's ready to live the best life in here? Come on, you want to live the best life? Listen, next week we're going to continue on talking about living the best life because you can't do it on your own. You won't do it on your own. You said, but yeah, but I got the right Christ Jesus. Listen, you ever tried to do a DIY project before and you got in? You're like, uh-oh, I need some help. Thank God he gives us help. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads this morning? Maybe as you heard the message today, there were some challenging things because it puts you in a place to really, really reflect. And I don't know, maybe there were some things that were said that were a little tough. Maybe there were some things that were said that you agreed with, some things that challenged you, but you realize today that the foundation of your life, maybe it was church instead of Jesus. Maybe it was somebody in your family that had a very strong spiritual sense. Maybe you're a young person here today, and because mom or dad or grandma or grandpa was very, very spiritual, you just had this thought that they've already paved the way for you and that you didn't have to worry about this. But hearing this message today, maybe you're in a place of making decisions for your life and you realize, I can't just go off of mama's faith, but I got to have my faith in Jesus. I got to build my life on the rock of Christ Jesus. Maybe you've been trying some other methods, or maybe you didn't even know about Jesus being the solid rock. But today, as you're hearing this message, it's bringing some perspective. And you say, Pastor Wade, I need to change some focus in my life. And I need to build my life on the rock of Christ Jesus. And if you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor, will you pray with me? Because I'm not where I need to be with God. I need to put my faith and trust in him for my salvation, for the forgiveness of my sins. Real quick, why don't you slip a hand up and say, Pastor, will you pray for me today? Anyone else? You're away from God today, but you're like, today, this is the change. I'm taking a step to living the best life that God has for me. Anyone else? There's a couple of hands already went up. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, pray for me today. Pray with me. Anyone else? Come on, hands are still going up all across the room. Living the best life. Not just a good one, not just a quote-unquote blessed one, but the best life, the life that God has for you. Anyone else? Hands have gone up across the room this morning. And I love praying this prayer on Sundays. Every Sunday we pray this together. I want you to repeat it after me. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you that you have been chasing me. You sent your Holy Spirit to follow me because you loved me so much. And today, I'm responding. I'm opening my heart to you, and I'm asking you to come fill my life, to come be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my whole life to you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Give me a fresh start today. From this day forward, choose to live my life your way. I trust you, and I give you complete control of my life. Lead me and teach me your ways so I can live the life that you have for me. The best life. In Jesus' name.